club. It's all voluntary. Sometimes it's off school property in Roanoke. As a matter of fact, Roanoke County or Roanoke City is the worst. It absolutely fights every effort that we try to make to get in. But we have one of the chairmen at Clearbrook who attends there and heads up the entire organization there. So let me encourage you to get involved, to talk to the pastor, talk to Sherry. Child evangelism is well worth your prayers, your time, and your money. And I hope that you will. All right. I'm a Christian. Does anybody know? I'm a Christian, but does anybody know? As Brother Paul just said, I spoke here in March. Daniel Boone was playing sick, so I had to come over here. That's when I had car trouble. But Chris fixed it for me temporarily. And when I get back to Roanoke, they fixed it again. By the way, I drive a Ford. Anybody want to say amen? And they had two little Y plastic clips that clips the windshield underneath the car and holds it to keep it's supposed to reduce the air. I bought them from Ford Motor Company, $20 a piece. Then I paid another $20 a piece to put them on the car. And then I drove a half a mile, and they broke, both of them. Well, I was trying to be a Christian when I went back to the garage. You know, well, it's not our fault. And there was an old gentleman there. He was an old mechanic, worked there, and he said, Mr. Andrews, I'll fix it for you. And there's two plates underneath, plastic plates underneath my car that protect it from the wind. And he took it back in the shop, and he put 47 sheet metal screws. He said, any place I could see air coming in, I put a sheet metal screw in. And I've drove for 6 months, and no problem. I tell you, you get out on 581, you're doing 60 miles an hour, one of those things breaks, you can't stand the vibration. So I think the Lord Chris Gore was here. He knew what to do with it. Mike thought he did, but he didn't know nothing. But anyway, I'm a Christian. Does anybody know? Let me get you to the book of Acts, chapter 11, and verse 25 and 26. I'm a Christian. Does anybody know? It's very easy to be a Christian here in church. Everybody, or most everybody, makes a profession of faith and says that they're saved. But verse 24 says, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Now, if you mark your Bibles, that'd be a good place to mark it. If you're going to be a Christian and let other people know, he was a good man, or in this case, a woman, and full of the Holy Ghost. That meant the Holy Ghost controlled his thoughts, his actions, and of faith. And because of that, much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. Father, we thank you today, Lord, that you're still on the throne. We live in a difficult time, Lord, evil time. And Lord, people need to know where we stand. And I pray this morning, Father, that you would deal with each heart. Help us, Lord, to stand as we've never stood. Have your way today in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm a Christian. Does anybody know it? You know, as I have traveled around, I was telling Brother Gore before Sunday school when I got here, that since March, I have preached more than any time since semi-retirement 8 years ago, just one church or another. I was in a church a few months ago, seated 400 people, one of the most beautiful sanctuaries you'd ever see. They were running 10. That was their top number. And of course, I go if it's 1 or 5,000, doesn't bother me. But people are beginning to drift away. We go to church, we want to hear just the right music. We go to church, we want a message that'll stir us a little bit, but not too much. We don't want to be challenged too much. I told a preacher the other day, I said, that message did not challenge me. That song did not challenge me. Now, a preacher doesn't like to hear that, but if you're not talking about Jesus, you're not challenging anybody. And you folks say that you're saved, you say you're born again, and I believe that most of you are. This story here is about a man who stood up and stood for God. The term Christian originally was a derogatory term. It was used first in the scripture here in Acts 11, Acts 26, and 1 Peter 4. But it means to be a little Christ. It means to be an ambassador for Jesus. I just passed 60 years, 61 years of being saved. Now, I'm only 62, so I got saved at an early age. But I remember and was sitting, and I'm alone now, and my wife is with the Lord, and my only child lives in Michigan. My grandchildren are there. So I don't see a lot of family anymore. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, God, what have I done with my life? And I look back at the age of 15 when a preacher said, Brother Andrews, will you teach this class? I had no idea what it meant to be a teacher. But to have my pastor ask me, a wild 15-year-old boy, to teach some second-grade boys, some of them went on to jail. That wasn't my fault. One of them went on to be one of the top men in the CIA. I used to ask him, Tim, tell me about your job. And he was about 6'4", and he'd say, well, Pastor Andrews, if I tell you, then I have to kill you. I said, Tim, don't tell me nothing. I don't want to know about it. But I watched those boys. And then I went into the Army, and I had an all-expense-paid trip paid to Southeast Asia. They even gave me a gun. Then I came back, and one of the best things in my life, I met my wife. And that's where I got involved in child evangelism. 51 years passed. Matter of fact, today is a year and a half since Nancy stepped into God's presence. A year and a half. And like Brother Paul said, it's not a day that goes by that I don't think about it. I don't wish her back. I mean, with Joe Biden, no thank you. Donald Trump, no thank you. Listen, the politicians cannot turn this country around. It's up to you. It's up to you. You're a Christian. Does anybody know that you're born again? Does anybody know that you're truly saved and you're not going to make that move unless you find that you are a good man or woman full of the Holy Ghost and of faith? I think it was... What was the circuit riding preacher in West Virginia? Now his name is gone. He rode a mule for years. He was Jerry Falwell's mentor. But anyway, he was teaching a class at Liberty years ago. That's before Liberty got to be what it is today. It was just a little tiny college then. And he said, let me tell you, preacher boy, something. If you're called to preach, never give in, never give up, never give over. If the stars fall from heaven, trust God. Now, you don't have as many people as you used to have. Whose fault is that? I can tell you this. This community is full of lost people. Do you know in the Roanoke Valley, I met some children. By the way, they had a club meeting about 2 weeks ago over in the Garden City area. 30 kids showed up. Three of them got saved. And all three of them said this to the director. We have never heard the name of Jesus. Who is he? The same thing is true here. So I'm a Christian. Does anybody know that I'm saved? Now, most people would look at me and say, well, that's just a loudmouth preacher, if he's that. But I'm saved, born again. I've been a deacon. I've been a pastor. I've been an evangelist. I've done everything that I felt like God wanted me to do. And I still have failed God on occasion. I came here the first time, I think, in 1998. You were meeting over here in a little building. You were packed out. You looked like sardines. Some of you smelled like sardines. But you were meeting over there, and you came to the conclusion you needed a bigger sanctuary. And one of the men said this to me. He said, soon as we get this paid off, we're going to build again. I said, you better fill up what you got. Did you invite somebody? Did somebody look at you and could tell you were a Christian? This world, and I don't say this to be funny, this world literally is going to hell in a handbasket. And if the churches don't make a stand, we're in trouble. And I've been in church after church after church. Churches, most of them no longer have a pastor. They're looking for an intern. They're looking for a fill-in. They asked me to do an internship at one of the churches that I was preaching in. I said, no, I've done my tour duty. And I can't keep up with it anymore. I like what I'm doing. I like to come to Valley View, stir up trouble and leave and let Brother Boone take care of everything. Somebody said amen. That's not when you're supposed to say amen. But in Acts 27, the first question, I have three questions for you and then I'll quit. Do I really stand for Christ? Paul said in Acts 27, the person in his life was Christ. It's easy for everybody to look at everybody else in church today and say, the person in my life is Jesus Christ. Go out here and meet one of these men or women or young people that would just soon shoot you as look at you and tell them that you are a Christian, live for God, and see what kind of response you get. Do I really stand? And Paul says, the person in my life, my life's not worth anything. The most precious thing to me was the woman I was married to, humanly speaking. But the most precious thing to me is the Lamb of God. I've known him over 60 years. And I can say this with absolute honesty. He's never failed me. He's never let me down. Then he said, the possession, whose I am. I belong to the Lord. And I want everybody to know that I'm a born-again Christian. I think I told you, and I have to be careful because you can offend people today. If you look at them wrong, they'll shoot you. Literally. And I'm a people watcher, and I was over at Tanglewood Mall sitting on a bench minding my own business watching people. And I saw these two huge ladies. Well, they don't like to be called fat. They like to be called fluffy. So I saw these two huge fluffy women. I won't tell you what they were wearing, the color of hair that they had, but I couldn't take my eyes off them. I'd never seen anything like it. And one of them turned around, they must have sensed something and said, what are you looking at? And I said, I always get my mouth in trouble. I said, not much. She said, who are you? And I began to witness to these people. In a jovial manner, I was telling them, listen, God cares about you. That lifestyle that you're projecting and that you're throwing out to the public, somebody cares about you, and his name is Jesus. And they looked at me and said, oh, you're one of them. It's about time people looked at us and said, you're one of them. You're a child of God. You're born again. I'm a Christian. Does anybody know it? Paul said, whose I am. He's my Savior. And then he said, here it is, the purpose in Paul's life, in whom I serve. It's so easy to serve God. And you folks are no different than any other church I've been in. And I think I've been in about 19 churches in the last 6 months. And the same thing is happening everywhere, including my home church, where I go to church. People want to have a feel good, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you came to church and somebody mentioned sin and you get offended by it, good! Amen. Because we're all sinners who have come short of the glory of God. By the way, if you go to heaven, the only reason you're going to get to heaven and be in heaven is because of what Jesus did. Amen. He didn't say, I'll come back. Brother Paul was talking about some of these charlatans. You know, people are dumb, some. You tell me, hey, you send me $100 and God will richly bless you. God, you got to give God $100 to be blessed. And they got millions of dollars. He made the indication that I was not of the top 10 paid preachers in the country, and he was right. I'm at the bottom of the list. But I didn't enter the ministry in 1978 for money. I keep telling people, and they keep looking at me like I've lost all my marbles. You want money, talk to the Holy Spirit, and give away what you got. Well, you don't like it, but there it is. You want the proof in the pudding? Try it. Lord, there's somebody that needs help. Who can I help? Even if it's $5, $10, $100, whatever it might be. And just give it away and don't tell anybody. I send money out all the time. Don't give me your addresses after church. God will speak to my heart. I'll put money in a card and I'll say, from a dear Christian friend, no return address, and send it off. And all these reports keep coming back in. Oh, preacher, you wouldn't believe what happened to me this week. Somebody sent me some money that I needed at that time. By the way, I have a pocket full of white envelopes, and here's why I have them. When I was at Brother Vest back in August, they always give me a good check. A gentleman walked out of church and handed me a white, small white envelope. I didn't think anything of it. I just took it in my Bible. Because it's happened before. It's generally $20, maybe $40. And I laid it on the desk. I went on to church that night. I came home. Well, I better take whatever's there and put it aside for a later date. You know how much money was in that envelope? $500. I had the white envelopes to each of you after church. That's never happened to me. I went to a church the following week, a big church, a big congregation, and they gave me $25. Thank you, Lord. Because I figured this. God's going to take care of my needs. I don't need the church. I appreciate what you've given me. And by the way, Paul paid me early. I might be back tonight, and I might not be back tonight. In whom I serve. I'm telling you, as a 70-something-year-old preacher, you can't go wrong serving Jesus Christ. Amen. He'll never fail you. He'll never let you down. In whom I serve. John 18:25, Peter denied the Lord. You remember that? We all talk about, impetuous Peter. He opened his mouth and got his foot in. Time and time again, he was always saying the wrong thing at the right time. Think about it. But he had a change in Acts 2. Remember that? Birth of the church. Peter stood up and preached, and 3,000 souls got saved. I think he finally decided in whom I serve, whom I belong. Christ is mine. We deny the Lord when we hope nobody finds out that we're a Christian. Boy, I sure hope they don't know that I'm saved. They'll just rip me and ride me to death. When we won't speak for what is right, I've said this in every pulpit, I'm going to keep saying it, that it is a national shame of the American people and the American church to allow 60-some million babies to be aborted in the last 50 years. 1973, it's a woman's right. It's her body. She can do with what she wants. She cannot kill that life that's in the womb, but they do. 60 million babies, 60 million plus babies. And we say, well, there's nothing we can do about it. Or, I never thought I'd live to see the time when young boys want to be young girls and young girls want to be young boys. Amen. Who would have thought? And they're fighting and going to court over using the same bathroom. Or men playing women's sports. Well, let's just face it, God made most men pretty tough. He made a few women tough too. But that's not right. We live in a time and an age when they're coming across the border like a spigot's wide open. And that's all right. Our ancestors came here like that. But folks, we have to come the right way. We have to make a stand. I heard a woman today on a news channel said, I'm a Roman Catholic. And I thought, oh, God help her. The Roman Catholics can't do anything for you, but Jesus Christ can. Do I stand for the Lord? We're silent about our relationship with God when we accept the cultures of a non-Christian society. No matter what they say, I think most of you folks know this country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. Amen. But we've turned a far distance from that. We don't understand why things are going on. I mean, they go up to a car. I watched on the news this morning, a guy pulled some money out of an ATM. Three guys followed him and tried to rob him. And thought it was funny. They're beating up old people. They're shoving them into trains. And we're pulling our hair out and saying, what's wrong with American society? The Christian has forgot to stand up. And say, I don't care what you say about me or what you do to me. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. And don't say it with a lot of pride, because the only reason you got saved was the Spirit of God convicted you about your sin. The only reason you'll get saved today is if the Spirit of God convicts you. The only reason you'll get right with God. And the altar call is becoming a thing of the past in most churches, including the one I attend. They don't have an altar call anymore. If you want to get saved, you want to join church, see me after church. And I keep telling the pastor, don't you realize from the time the Spirit convicts them till they get out the door, Satan will snatch it away.
Amen. Right.
Now's the time. Titus 1:6, they profess they know God, but in words they deny Him. Is that you? You profess to know who Jesus is, but in your actions and your words you deny Him. 2 Timothy 3 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Well, I don't want to offend them. Don't you think you're offending God? Quit being a wishy-washy Christian. Now, you folks already know me. If you don't, you're going to know me before it's over. I'm going to tell you the truth. We got a lot of Christians that are sitting on their south pastures. That's the backside. And they're not doing nothing. Pastor had a good idea at Clearbrook. People come to him and say, hey, I'd like to see such and such and such and such a program starting. He said, okay, it's all yours. All of a sudden, they get quiet. They want to see it, but they don't want to be involved in it. Listen, you're involved with the greatest king and the greatest kingdom that ever will be, and that's Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. Does anybody know it? Then if you look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 21, I'll wait until you get there. Have I truly been saved? Well, my daddy preached the word of God for years. I reckon I'm saved. My mama was one of the dearest saints in the world. I reckon I'm saved. The woman I married, she's on me all the time about going to church. And I finally trusted the Lord. Did you? Have I been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ? Whosoever shall call upon the Lord, what does it say? Shall be saved. Not will be, not think about it out in the future. If you're sincere when you come to God, God will be sincere about saving you. It shall come to pass that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans says, and you know the verse, for all have sinned. That's why I can't agree with some of these preachers. A lot of them. It says God destined some to die and go to hell, and God destined some to die and go to heaven. The Bible says, God says, He's not willing that any should perish. If you die and go to hell, it will not be God's fault. It will be yours for rejecting the Spirit of God.
Amen.
You can do nothing without Him. My job today is not to convict you. It's not to convince you, but to warn you. You say you're saved. Does anybody know that besides your immediate family? You ever watch people in a restaurant pray? Well, God understands tongues. I guess they got through okay. When I see somebody bow their head and honestly praise in a soft voice, Lord, thank you for the food. Thank you for my family. They don't care who's looking, who's watching. I always make a point when I get finished to go to that family and say, thank you, sir, for what you just did. They are Christians and they want people to know it. We don't pray so people will know we're Christians. We got enough sense to thank God for the food that He provided. The rain that we got. I don't know about you, but it was getting pretty dry in Roanoke. Didn't have to mow yards. Didn't have to do any of that. And I'd sit on the front porch at 3 or 4 in the morning and say, Lord, I need a little rain. Now, I don't know what happened here, but it rained all day in South Roanoke. All day long. And I didn't grumble and I didn't complain. I went out and sat on the porch and said, thank you, Lord, for that fresh rain. You may stand and say, I'm saved. But I'm here to ask you, are you? Now, if I can make you doubt your salvation, you just think what the devil can do. Was there a time in your life when you realized that you were wretched, that you were lost, that you were undone, that there was no hope whatsoever for you except Jesus. There was a Korean preacher years ago, used to preach on national TV, evangelist. He's another one of those dopes. I call them dippy dopes. They dip in the dope all the time. And he said, Jesus didn't finish his work. He sent me to finish it for him. You don't look like God to me. Jesus said on the cross, one of the things he said, it is finished. The job that God sent me to do, I've done. It's finished. There is no more. Buddha can't save you. Hinduism can't save you. Religion can't save you. Jesus is not a religion. He died for all men, all women, all colors. Amen. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. He that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. I preached that one time at a funeral. And a lady said, I want you to know that me and my whole family were getting ready to come to your church. But we didn't like what you read in John 3:36. I said, well, take it up with God. He said, if you don't believe, you're condemned. Just think of that. Think of the people in this church, in this neighborhood, your friends, your family, your co-workers that have never believed. They stand right now condemned by God. That's it. Condemned. I think it was Pastor Boone that said this. If he did, I'll give him credit for it. He said, indecision now will be a fatal decision later. If you put it off, you may put it off too long. I've stood over the graves of babies, young people, old folks, my own wife. And I've wondered almost about every one of them. I wonder if that person knew the Lord. Is that person in heaven enjoying the glory of Jesus' light? Or are they in a tormented hell? And I'm afraid because most of us don't say anything. Others die. I gave the illustration. I cannot get away from it. I give it here. I give it everywhere. When I was in Vietnam, 19 years old, I thought I knew everything. You know how those 19-year-olds are. And one of the best friends I had was a black man. I mean, now I'm not just talking black, I'm talking black. A hunk of coal didn't have nothing on him. Just as black as could be and had the most perfect pearly white teeth you'd ever see. And we would always tell him, we called him Cuda, shut your mouth, you're going to give our position away. Because you could see him a mile at night if he smiled. I remember holding that man with his insides falling out on the ground. And I remember until the day I die, I will remember I never told that man who Jesus was. He knew Andy was supposedly a Christian, but he drank. He caroused right along with the rest of them, and I did. And I never told him. And he died in my arms, and I thought to myself, I had the water of life, and I didn't give it to him. And I'm afeard today that that man is in hell because I didn't tell him. I had the chance. I was a Christian, but I didn't want my army buddies to know. And that man is suffering for it right now. I'm a Christian. Does anybody know? And then finally, 1 Peter 4 and verse 1. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. When's the last time you said, Lord, man, that was a rough trial, but I sure do thank you for it. That guy cussed me out because I told him about Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, we usually get offended. We usually will say or at least think, all right, I can go to hell and see if I care. We don't want to suffer for the Lord. If we have to give one dime more than we should in church, we feel like we've suffered. I used to be a treasurer. I was the pastor's treasurer, the janitor, you name it, when we first started. And, of course, I had to look at the checks to record them. And I was amazed at people that would give God $13.41. Not one dime more, not one dime less. Now, I keep telling you folks, one of these days, some of you will put me to the proof of the pudding. If you want money, give it away.
Amen.
I make more money now than I ever would think about as a pastor. I don't mind telling you. Whatever the check was that Paul gave me, whatever the amount, I will deduct my tithe, put it in church. The rest of it goes in the safe. And when God says, send that man to an hour, I don't know who you are, so I probably can't send it. Send that man $200. I'm going to take it out. I'm going to put it in an envelope. I'm not going to sign my name, and I'm going to send it off. And the more I send off, the more that comes in. Do you realize since March, part-time preaching, I've made over $4,000? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And I hope to make that much here tonight. Yeah, I am dreaming on. It's starting to turn into a nightmare. But we hold on to it. There was a guy in my church years ago. He was 87 years old back in the 80s. And he gave, but he would squeeze that nickel so tight the buffalo would roar. Now, some of you know what a buffalo nickel is, so you know what I'm talking about. He was tight as bark on a tree. You just couldn't get anything from him. When God gave me that $500 a few weeks ago, I never questioned the Lord. I got $500 extra. Stick it. I got a little amen corner in my wallet. And when somebody needs it, I give it away. You know, before I got down off Christiansburg Mountain, God had named four people that needed that money. And so when I got home, I got it out, and I got it all divided up. Four people got it, and they had no idea it was me. Don't you open your mouth. Learn to give. Do I look underfed? I eat sandwiches and soup most days. And I'll tell you why. I went to Outback yesterday. It cost me $35. That's why I eat soup and sandwiches most days. Plus, I've had to do my own cooking for the last 18 months. That's no fun. Yeah. Nan could cook. But you're just in life. And you're just what God wants you to do. Remember what I told you in March? When Nan died after 51 years, I submitted God, I could chew nails and spit out tacks. And then God got me out of bed one night about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was moaning and groaning and having a pity party all by myself. God, it's just not fair. I can't go on without Nancy. And God said, let me remind you of something, son. When he says son, pay attention. I let you have her for 51 years. You're talking about getting a humble heart and getting on my knees. I don't wish her back for nothing. I miss her, but I don't wish her back. We had a great life together. She suffered. When we left Lighthouse, some of those folks didn't like that after 30 years. And they would cross the street rather than greet my wife. That's why we moved. I said, honey, we'll find someplace else to serve the Lord. The most persecuted people in the world are Christians. Unto you is given on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake. So with a real Christian mind standing up, will a real Christian really make a stand for Jesus? Am I willing to suffer for the Lord? Does anybody know that I'm saved? It's easy for folks to know that in church. Not so easy when you get out into the world. And I got some news for you. If you think it's going to get better, you're wrong. The only way it's going to get better is if Jesus comes soon. Now, I used to tell people, listen for the trumpet. It's about to sound. I don't tell them that anymore. I said, smell the second coming. We are so close we can smell it. And how busy we should be. And like I said at the beginning, get involved with child evangelism, soul winning, visitation, whatever you have to do to get people in church under the sound of the gospel. And thank God every day. Don't take it for granted. Thank him every day that you have a pastor that preaches the word of God. Many churches that I've been in, preachers have left for more money. If they're in it for the money, let them go. If they're in it for prestige, let them go. But if they're in it for souls, keep them around for a while. I'm a Christian. Does anybody know? Let's pray. With your heads bowed, please. No one looking. I did not come to embarrass you. I would not want to do that. But for some reason, God led this direction. Now, here's a Bible-believing church where most people, if not all, say they're saved. Does anybody besides the people in the church know that? Does the world see Christ in you? Are you making a stand? Let me encourage you to do. There's some of you, boy, I'm telling you, you shine brighter than a star. And God said the soul winner would shine as the stars forever. Some of you really do stand. Many of you do not. Some of you do not know him. Yes, we're living in difficult times and discouraging times. Every soul is worth the effort. Every soul. Red, yellow, black, or white, it makes no difference to God. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for Valley View. All those years ago, Lord, you laid it on somebody's heart to start. These people have a church today, Lord, because somebody obeyed. God, I pray they'll not take this for granted. They'll not take the pastor, the leaders for granted, song music, whatever it might be. But God, help us to stand in these last days. We know, Lord, that our country is divided. People don't want to hear about God. They're divided when it comes to politics. They're divided when it comes to you. Help us, who already know you, to stand true in these last days. Come soon, Lord Jesus. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.